everybody. Jeff Jones here. Welcome to the weekly Chase Oaks Church podcast. Before we dive in, I want to encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download the Chase Oaks Church app. The app is the best place to catch up on messages, engage with our community, and stay in the loop with everything going on around here. Most importantly, my hope is that today's message inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Here we go.
Welcome to Chase Oaks. We are so glad that you are here this weekend. My name is Ryan, and we've been in a series called Simplify, where we've just been looking at what it looks like to sort of dwindle some things down in our life and to lead a little bit more of a simple life. If you've missed any of the messages previously, I encourage you to go back and check those out. I love the message Jeff talked about with the power of no and just realizing that there are some things in our life that we need to say no to. I love last week just talking about contentment and what it looks like to just be okay with a little bit of a simpler life. Now, I don't know if you know this, Jeff is the guy that God has in charge of Chase Oaks. In case you don't know who he is, you have no idea, your first time here, Jeff's another guy that just talks up here. And he's in charge, and so here's what he does every single year. He does a study break. So he goes away in the summer, and he prays and says, Lord, what is it that you have for Chase Oaks for the next year or so? And he lays out a bunch of different sermon series, kind of our Netflix series for you know, 12-month calendar. And he lays out, okay, hey, here's the subject I'm going to cover, and Ryan's on these weeks, and so here's kind of how it fits into the grand scheme of what we do, and it's a great system, and it works, and Eric's going to speak on this, and we've got guest speakers, and we kind of, you know, map out the whole year. And so I get to look at that calendar and can kind of game plan for what's going to happen on different weekends, and I see that I'm on for Super Bowl weekend. I said, that's no problem. That's great. And then I see the subject. And when I see the subject, I feel personally victimized because I feel like this weekend's subject is literally the one thing I am the absolute worst at. And it's like, Jeff, you couldn't have given me any other subject in the world to speak on. And this weekend, we're talking about stillness. Sitting still and quiet, and I'm just like, there is nothing about my life that is this. And it's like, if you've ever thought Christians are hypocrites, like, I'm number one today, all right? Like, the number one person that needs to hear this message is me. Like, in fact, if there's anybody in my family that's watching this weekend, they're gonna say, Ryan is speaking on stillness? Like they wouldn't even believe it, because I am Mr. Productivity. I am a walking to-do list, okay? Like, I do not sit still. The only time I'm sitting still is actually when I'm going somewhere. The only time I'm sitting still is on an airplane, and they make me sit down, and even then, I'm still doing stuff. I'll never forget, there was a flight attendant that was just like, you realize you're the only one working on the plane, everyone else is sleeping. I'm like, I know, and that's why I'm ahead of them right now. And it's like, in my mind, I'm just like, I got stuff to do today. It's like I wake up thinking, like, what can I do to add value to the world? It's do. And I knew I had a stillness problem 4 Christmases ago, okay? Like, so here, let me just set the scene. 4 Christmases ago, my family, you know, we've opened up gifts. Kids are in matching pajamas. Everybody's taking pictures, and everybody's, like, enjoying the holiday. And I'm in the corner strategizing for how we're going to clean this mess up, right? And I'm just like, as soon as they turn left, I'm gonna make my move. And I swear, my wife went to the bathroom for like 2 minutes, and she came back and the whole house was clean. And she's like, what just happened? What happened to all the trash and the gift boxes? And I was like, oh, they're in a dumpster down the street. And she's like, what do you mean? I was going to use those. I was going to reuse some of those gift boxes. And I was like, my bad. And then a couple hours later, I went into the garage and I pulled out the ladder, and I just started changing the batteries on our smoke detectors, because I just feel like we're not going to be one of those chirp houses. You know, I just feel like that's disrespectful. You know what I mean? Like, you're ever talking to people and it's beep. You're like, dude, can you get your life together? Like, what's going on? And so I set a calendar reminder that every year around Christmas, the holidays, you know, you just change your batteries on your smoke detectors. And so, and I'm just changing them around the house. I'm on this tall ladder. And at one point, my family just looks at me, like my kids, my wife, my mother, my brother. They're just like, can you just sit down? I'm like, yes. But then who's going to change the chirping when in the middle of the night you're not going to come over here and change it? It's just like, no, I'm getting ahead of the game, all right? Like, I'm in repair, okay? I'm not together, but I'm getting there. Pray for me, right? And pray for my wife. It's like, I don't do the sitting still thing well. I don't know that any of us do. Because stillness, well, it just, I don't know, it forces us to do something that we're not very good at. I think our country prides itself on doing. I think our culture prides itself on checklists and how much we can get done in a lifetime. But stillness is the thing I think we all need. You're not going to have a whole lot of people in your life that celebrate stillness. Stillness doesn't pass out a whole lot of awards. Stillness won't get you MVP. Stillness often doesn't get you a raise. Stillness doesn't help you stay ahead of the market. Stillness isn't something that's celebrated. I think some of us equate stillness to laziness, and we don't want to appear that. I think it's hard for us to be still because perhaps we're addicted to so many different distractions. We've got so many red notifications on our phone, we can't even count them. I had a friend the other day, I saw they had 3,875 unread text messages. I said, I don't know how you do this. But you just look at their phone and it's just red. It's just so many things competing for their attention. I read the other day that you and I experience anywhere between 4,000 and 10,000 advertisements a day. Just driving, just scrolling. So stillness, it means we're kind of, well, it means we're unplugging. I actually think part of the struggle of us sitting still is we're afraid of what we might actually hear. That we might actually have to face the thing that we've been afraid to admit for a very long time. You might be in a situation where your marriage is not nearly as good as your Christmas photo might suggest. But you haven't sat still long enough to even admit it. You might have some anger issues that are absolutely outside of control, but your life is so busy and noisy that you just, it's not that big of a deal, and you just move on to the next thing, and you don't want to wrestle with it. Sometimes we fight stillness because we don't want to grieve the person we lost. The job we lost. I was on an airplane yesterday, and I was coming home from Chicago, and a woman next to me, somebody recognized me on the plane, and the woman next to me, she goes, "Are you famous?" I said, I'm not famous. I said, "I just talk a lot, and that's what happens." And she said, "Okay, good. You know, my kids, they were really struggling because I lost my husband 15 months ago." And I said, "Well, is it your kids or is it you? Because it can't be both." And I said, "Hey, I don't know what you're doing this weekend, but I'm speaking at this church. It's called Chase Oaks. You should come." She said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Stillness." She said, "I can't." And I said, "Yeah, I'm with you. Which is why I'm talking about it. Because I think we need it. In fact, I want to try a little experiment. I want us to sit completely still for 20 seconds. And I don't know how you're going to handle it, but I don't know how I'm going to handle it because my life is never still for 20 seconds. But let's just do it together. 3, 2, 1.
You know, it's interesting. I wonder how many of you were counting that entire time.
Like, you didn't know what to do with stillness. You're like, okay, if we just count to 20, he did longer than 20. It's longer than 20. Get it together, right? Like you're just like, do something. Play music. Like, can we please? Like you just, isn't it amazing? Like, we just, it's so hard for us.
But I think what we just attempted to do for 20 seconds-ish is what we need more of.
I love it.
Psalms 23, verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me. Because that's what he needs to do sometimes. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Lead me beside still waters. I wonder who could use a little bit of still waters today.
Oh, maybe you're here today, you're not even a Christian, and maybe you stumbled in here. You didn't.
God's been trying to get a hold of you for a very, very long time, and I just want to let you know that the invitation this weekend from a Heavenly Father is to sit and to be still. An invitation into a nothingness. It is just so contrary. It's just like, no, Ryan, give me a to-do list. And it's just like, yeah, here's your to-do list. Nothing. Your to-do list is to find a chair and sit down. I'm turning 40 next year. I feel like 40's calling and it's asking me to sit down. Okay, I'm learning real fast. Like, hey, there's a couple ways you're gonna sit down. Life will make you sit down or you can choose to sit down. I've just been having random injuries, hip contusion, bruised heel. Like, I'm like, what is that? People are like, what did you do? I'm like, I woke up. That's what I did. That's what happened. And it's like, no, maybe this is a thing that I've been needing to do for a very, very long time. So there's two primary reasons I think stillness is needed for you and me. Number one, stillness positions us to hear God. Stillness positions us to hear God. And I don't know what your hearing from God theology is. Some people believe that you can only hear God if you're super spiritual. It's amazing. God speaks to people who aren't even Christians. Isn't that crazy? Because he likes to get a hold of everybody. But often, it can't happen unless there's stillness. Unless we posture ourselves to be quiet. Here's what I learned about stillness. A stillness will not happen on accident. It needs to be scheduled. It needs to be on your calendar. You're not going to have 20 seconds of silence. Like, there was nothing in your day that was going to have 20 seconds of absolute stillness unless you planned it. And lucky for you, I planned it for you today, all right? So, but for tomorrow, you're on your own. You're going to have to schedule stillness. It's going to have to appear on your calendar. And the reason I think that's important is because it was on Jesus's. He had it on his calendar. I love what Mark 1, verse 35, it says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It's just him and his Father. When was the last time you had just that? A solitary place. No distractions. No red notifications. No buzzing. A true do not disturb. I love what Luke 5:16 says. It says, but Jesus, I love this next word, often. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Here is the Savior of the universe, the guy who's on the move, who, if you're reading the scripture, it's just like, he's doing a lot. Yeah, but in the midst of a lot, it says he often. This was a regular occurrence. This was a habit. No wonder he could be Jesus. He consistently had a place where he was refueling himself. No wonder he could have empathy. No wonder he walked in power. No wonder he could be in sync with his Father. I love what Luke 6, verse 12 through 13 says. It says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. It's amazing. Jesus, he prays all night before he makes one of the biggest decisions of his life. But just in case you don't fully understand what I mean by this, is Jesus is sent to the planet. God, for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so, hey, Jesus, here's the plan. We need you to save the world. Pick 12, okay? Pick your team. Let's see what you got. And Jesus says, before I pick my 12, before I pick the Avengers to save the world, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit still and make sure I hear from God. By the way, you know it was God that spoke to Jesus about this decision. Because if we're looking for save the world qualifications, none of these 12 disciples meet the bill. I promise you that. Not one of these 12 would you or I have ever picked. If you say, hey, you gotta save the whole world from their sins and this is the crew that has to carry on the gospel forever? Nah, we need some more qualified people. Let's go up to the synagogue. There's some people that know the scriptures a little bit better. It's like you pick the most broken, the most inexperienced. Like, these are the people that are going to carry the gospel. These are the people that are going to carry the mission. And Jesus is like, yeah, it's actually kind of part of the deal. I'm going to use the broken to reach the broken. I'm going to use the hurting to reach the hurting. I know it's a crazy concept. In fact, one was a tax collector, which is the furthest thing you would ever pick to save the world from their sins. But Jesus is going, I need the biggest sinner of them all so that people actually believe the message. Like, in case you're here today and you're just like, never me. It's like, no, you would actually be Jesus's first pick. You'd be surprised. Well, how in the world would you come to that kind of decision or that kind of conclusion? You'd have to sit still long enough to go, no, I've got clarity on what I need to do next. Here's what I know about you and me. We all could use a word from God. We all could use a little bit of divine assistance, a divine message, because you and I can find ourselves drowning in so many different decisions. Where should I work? Should I stay? Should I leave? Should I take this job? Should I apply for this promotion? Should I buy this house? Is it a financial trap? Should I make this investment? Should I loan this money? Should I get in this relationship? Should I get out of this relationship? Am I ignoring red flags? We haven't even gotten to our kids. It's a whole different prayer list. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, what school should they play with this team? Should I even let them do this a sleepover? I want sleepovers. It's like you can go back and forth. Should they go to this doctor? Should they go to this dentist? Should they go to this school? Should they apply for this place? Should I let them drive my car? Should I even get them a car? They don't even deserve a car. It's like you can go back and forth on all of these different decisions. And wouldn't it be great if our life was quiet enough to say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Because you don't want to just make a right decision. You want to make a God decision. Wouldn't it be awesome for us to look back on our life and go, look at all of these God decisions. You and I would have less regrets if we were still long enough to say, Lord, would you speak to me? You see, I just think it's going to be very, very difficult for us to hear from God if we don't make space to hear from God. 1 Kings 19, verse 12 says, after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. You would think that God's voice would be in the thunder, and sometimes it is. You would think that God would show up in fire, and sometimes he does. But in this particular text, it says, actually, it wasn't a big show this time. This time it was a gentle, gentle whisper. My friends, I don't think God's always going to be a screamer. I think more times than not, we're only going to hear from God when we truly quiet the noise. And if we're honest, some of our conversations with the Lord, there is so much competition. It's for some of us, it's kind of like having a conversation in a sports arena. I'll never forget, I was at a Mavs game a couple of months ago, and I was trying to have a conversation with a friend. And, you know, if you've ever been to a Mavs game, it's club music in there. It's clap, 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 clap your hands. You're like, hey, how are you? You good? Yeah, how's life? You're screaming at each other. You're like, what'd you say? What? You guys are getting a divorce? Did you say that? No. They forced a turnover. I was like, oh, that was a close one. I didn't know. My bad. And so you're like, it's a crazy conversation. But, like, for some of us, that's what it's like trying to hear from God. Some of us are like, hey, God, I could really use your help. Anyway, so, oh my gosh, that house is amazing. I cannot believe. Lord, I just don't know what to do with my kids. Like, they're just, like, do they have ADHD? Like, I don't know. Like, maybe I should look it up and see. Like you just. And you're like, I haven't heard from God, but how are you going to when there is a massive competition for your attention? Your attention is so valuable, people pay billions to get it. But sometimes you don't value your own attention and you give it away to whatever is in front of you. I just have to ask you, what do you have time for that you give your attention to? And I just have to wonder what our lives would look like if we gave more of it to God. I was challenged last July. A friend of mine, he said him and his staff were going through the Bible in a month. I was like, in a month? I'm like, what kind of people do this? Like, what's wrong with you? You know, it's just like, you know, and I like the Bible, but it's just like, do I like the Bible that much? Like, what are you trying to prove, man? Come on, chill out. And then I went home and I was just like, you know what? I should try that. You know, let's just see what happens. And so I just opened up Acts 1. I don't know. I'm just going to start and see what happens. And then my kids bust through the door. Dad, can you put us to bed and read us a bedtime story? And I was like, see, Lord, this is why I don't even read the Bible. You know, it's because you got to meet these kids. And then the next morning, I opened my phone and was looking at the verse of the day. And I thought, let's try again. And then I saw this button. It was a play button. And it was somebody that was actually reading the Bible out loud to me. And I was like, oh, I wonder if I could listen to the Bible. And so now I'm like it's scrolling and I'm going to the Bible. And then I got on the plane. It was like a 3-hour flight. And I'm like, you know, I got through like all 4 Gospels on one plane ride. And I was like, man, that was, wow, that, man, do you think you could get through the Bible in a month? Like, that's crazy. So I did the math. I asked ChatGPT. I said, hey, how long would it take? You know, and it said it would require 3 hours a day. And I thought, like you, I'm busy. I ain't got 3 hours a day. Come on, what? Come on. Who's got 3 hours a day? Like, really? Like, are you serious? It's just, and this isn't bragging to you, but a month later, I was done with the Bible. And here's what I learned. I learned that this isn't to brag to your Christian friends. I don't care, okay? But it's, here's, I learned that besides a thousand things that I learned in the scripture, what I learned about myself was I had more time than I thought. And here's the crazy thing. I realized that the scripture added more value to my life than all of the other things combined. I stopped doing some things. I watched a few less TV shows. I limited social media on my phone. Like, I made some adjustments, but I thought in the morning, I woke up a little bit earlier. I stayed up a little bit later, but I had a lot more peace. I had a lot more clarity. Ironically, I got more done in July than I did in June. It's crazy. In fact, I loved it so much, not to brag. I did it twice. I went through it in another translation because I was curious. And I just thought, Lord, maybe I do have more time than I realized. And I get, hey, trust me, I'm busy. I promise you, if you saw my schedule, you'd be like, well, I don't know how you do it all. I don't know how you do it all. I don't know how you do it all. I don't know how to do it all. And I definitely don't know how I get time in the Word, but then I just think about it. And the more I look back on my life and every meme and every video and every YouTube and every podcast and every show that I've watched, I think, well, actually, I got more time than I'm willing to admit. Like, what do you have time for? Because here's what I've learned. If you give God your attention, he'll give you his direction. But if you just throw your attention to whatever, and then expect God to crack open the sky when you won't crack open the Bible. I just don't think you're going to get a whole lot of direction. But I just, what I've learned, not as a super Christian, but as just somebody that just needs a lot of divine direction, is I have to give God my attention. I'm not anti-streaming. I like TV. I'm not anti the Super Bowl. Please watch it. Enjoy yourselves. I'm not anti-social media. But am I limited? Yeah. I've just watched some people that just... It's like something, like something's up with their finger. Like their fingers, like it's glued to the screen, and they just don't, and they just scroll and scroll, they scroll and scroll and scroll, and they fall asleep this way, and they wake up this way, and they wonder, like, well, why can't I hear from God? And I just have to wonder what it would look like to just let it go. I know some people that they are so politically oriented, it consumes them. Even if their candidate wins, they're still mad. Can you believe this? And I just sat with a friend the other day, and I said, hey, man, I think you need to get off social media. I actually think it's killing you. He had red in his eyes. And I said, man, I'm not concerned about politics as much as I'm concerned about you. I know some people, they just, it's amazing what they just give their time to. I'm going to talk about something right now that I told myself I wouldn't talk about it this weekend, but when you got sin in your life, you got to address it, you know? And I realize that for a lot of us, we don't want to talk about this subject because of what it does to our hearts and our minds and the control that it has on us right now, but I'm going to go there. We're in church. I'm going to invite you to leave it at the altar. Luca getting traded. I just don't understand, like, what is going, it's like, what, I mean, like, all week long, it was just like, everybody's like, dude, we got to talk about this, and then, like, and then you read through every article, and what really happened, and then was it Nico, where was Mark Cuban, and then how does Dirk Nowitzki feel about it, and I'm going to listen to this podcast, and it's just like, I get it, but we got to be careful that we don't allow anything to become a god. I love sports just like the next person. I'm not anti any of this stuff. I'm really not. I just know how desperately you need to hear from God. And I just have to wonder what it would look like for you to just, I don't know what your thing is, but I just have to wonder what it would look like for you to just put it to the side and just give God a little bit of your attention so you can get a little bit of his direction. I have a friend who wrote a book. It's called 4 Minutes to Hear God's Voice. And they're good friends of ours, and I encourage you to pick up this book on Amazon. It has so many powerful stories, and they've got an interesting perspective and experience on prayer. And I'll never forget, they came to me and my wife one day, and they said, Mira is the author, her and her husband, Brian, came to me and my wife and said, hey, me and my family, we just want to come over to your house and pray for you. And we were like, okay, yeah, I mean, sure, you know, we'll take some prayer, but like, you can't just pray for us over the phone or like text us or like it's a thing, it's a meal. I mean, like this is serious, you know. It feels deep, you know. They say, yeah, it's just a little different. And I said, okay. So they came over and they said, hey, here's how we pray for people. We read a verse and we put a timer on a clock, 4 minutes to be exact. And she says, and what we do is we sit still before the Lord. and just ask God to speak to us. Give us pictures, words for whoever that person is. So can we sit still before the Lord for your family? I say, I mean, sure. I mean, why not? And it was one of the most powerful 4 minutes my family had ever experienced. And we took 4 minutes for every single person in my family, 16 minutes total. And so it became a practice in our home. Whenever we're trying to make a tough decision, we say, hey, let's just sit still before the Lord for 4 minutes, and we'll put on a 4 minute clock, and we just sit still before the Lord. When I put my son to bed, we do 4 minutes. I say, hey, son, I want to teach you to just tune your ear, to have a sensitivity to say, Lord, whatever it is that you want to show me, speak to me, I'm just going to sit still before the Lord for 4 minutes. He could have some things going on in his day at the school that bothered him. He could be worried about a game that he's got the next day. And I say, hey, let's just for 4 minutes sit still and see what God has to say about it. And I'd be getting lazy on the bedtime stuff sometimes. And so sometimes I'd be like, hey, son, good night. He said, 4 minutes. I'm like, really, kid? And so my wife at one point in our kitchen, she put up a sign that was very convicting. It said, got 4 minutes. Like, I realize that some of you don't have an hour. I get that some of you are not going to do 3 hours a day in the Word of God. Like, that's crazy. I get it. But do you have 4 minutes? To say, Lord, before I get busy, before I jump into all of the things that I think I got to do, can I just pause my day? Some of you need 4 minutes at your job. You say, listen, I work, you don't know who I work with. I need 10 minutes for them. Okay, I get it. 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 But somewhere in your life, I encourage you to be one of those people that pause long enough to say, Lord, I'm quiet enough, I'm still enough to hear from you. The second thing I believe stillness does for us is stillness forces us to trust God. It forces us to trust God because one of the reasons I think stillness is hard is because we don't trust that God is working when we're not. We think, well, as long as I'm doing something, I feel like I'm in control and doing nothing. It feels reckless. Come on, I got to do something. I love what Exodus 14, verse 10 says. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to the desert to die? Like, I just love, whoever this one person was, it's just bold. I love it, right? He says, what have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. If you're a leader, like, this is hard. Like, I'm trying to save you, and this is the kind of feedback you're giving me. Come on. And then verse 13 says, Moses answered the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord. The deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. You only need to be still? Do you not see what's chasing us? Can you not hear the hooves of horses behind us? We need to run. We need to fight. We need to do something. Stillness in crisis does not feel natural. It feels reckless. Being still means surrendering control. It means trusting that God is better at managing your life than you are. And some of us just don't believe that, especially if you're successful. If you're successful, you're like, I'm doing pretty good. You think you're better than God at managing your life in your relationships? And let's just be honest, if we all were in control of our life, we would fix everything a lot faster. And we would learn no lessons. If you could fix every problem in your kid's life, you would do it immediately. And guess what? They would never grow up. They would never mature because you fixed everything too fast for them to actually learn anything. That's why God's God and why we're not. Stillness forces us to trust God. Only be still. That's a hard pill to swallow when you've done everything right. But the diagnosis hasn't changed. Only be still. That's a hard thing to do when you're waiting for a door to open and it feels like God has forgotten you. When you're waiting on an opportunity, but it's taking its sweet time. It's only be still is really hard to do when your child is struggling and you're like, I need to do something and I want to take their pain away. Be still is really hard when a job and a relationship that you prayed for just isn't happening. Be still is really hard when bills are piling up. And guess what? Be still doesn't exactly pay a mortgage. You can't call Chase Bank and say, hey, be still. Okay, calm down. You don't get to do that. Be still is really hard when your anxiety is screaming. Do something. Fix something. And yet God is whispering, trust me. Trust me. My friends, stillness isn't an action. It's faith in action. It's choosing to trust when trusting feels impossible. It's saying, God, I trust your doing more than I trust my own. I love at one point in scripture, Jesus has just fed thousands of people. The disciples are asking questions. Jesus is trying to teach them lessons. And Jesus says, and they say to Jesus, Jesus, what is the work we must do that God requires? Tell me, give me the to-do list. Jesus goes, believe in the one he sent. Huh? What are you? Jesus, you could have at least given us the top 10. You could have at least given me the 10 commandments. Come on, give me something to do for my neighbor. Give me something to do. Jesus is like, I am. I'm giving you somebody to believe and trust that his work is better than yours. Some people are like, man, it's too hard to be a Christian. The hardest part about being a Christian is letting go of your doing and trusting in his. And being still and trusting that he's gone before you and that he's working on your behalf. Stillness is so, so, so hard because it requires us to trust God. You may have heard this verse before, Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. It's one of the most quoted psalms, and it sounds really cute when you've got a cup of coffee and some breakfast in front of you and you're like, be still and know that he is God. But what scholars believe is that this was written during a time where God's people were facing an Assyrian camp. This was not somebody reading a verse or writing a verse over brunch in Plano. This was written during a time where people were afraid for their lives and they didn't know how they were going to survive tomorrow. And somebody writes down, be still and know that I am God. This is somebody that's encouraging themselves. And scholars believe that this was the time that an angel struck down 185,000 soldiers in one single night. And so Israel goes to bed one night scared to death and they wake up and their enemy is gone in one single swoop. I don't know who was in that camp going, be still and know that I am God. I think that this verse is an invitation, not just to pause, but to release. Stillness is saying, Lord, I trust you're doing more than I trust my own. So let me sit back and watch you work and trust that you are in control when everything feels out of control. Psalms 46:10 isn't telling you to do nothing. It's telling you to stop striving and to start trusting. Because the battle you're facing, what if it's already won? I believe that that can be true for every single person here. This isn't about work. This isn't about a work ethic. This is about, do you trust God or do you trust you? I encourage stillness, and I encourage you to put it on your calendar because what can happen with you and me is we could just be tempted to be in charge of our own life. And I just encourage you to have some moments in your life where you sit still long enough to say, God, I think I'm pretty good at my own life, but I'm not that good. And it's exhausting being in charge of your own life. So what would it look like for you this weekend to be one of those people that find a corner in your home, find a corner in your schedule, and you sit still, and maybe it's for 4 minutes. Maybe if you got a timer on your microwave or your phone, you just go, Lord, I'm not a super Christian, but maybe I got 4 minutes to just sit still and see what would happen if I just postured my heart and postured my soul to say, Lord, maybe this battle is already won. I've already tried twisting their arm. I've already done all of the things that I know to do. And so I'm going to Psalms 46:10 this thing. I'm going to be still and know that he is God. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to chill out a little bit this weekend. I pray, God, in the midst of our busyness, in the midst of news and Luca being traded and all of the things, God, I pray that we would find a sliver of time in our schedule just to give you our attention so you can give us your direction. I pray, God, that this week, that my friends would take 4 minutes, that they would take some time to be still before you, to hear from you. And in those moments, even if it's just 4 minutes, would you speak loud and would you speak clear? I pray, God, that when we give you our attention, that you would give us your direction. In Jesus' name we pray, everybody say it. Amen. Amen.